Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. So I'm sure most of you have had the experience of saying the same thing over and over and over again and feeling like no one was listening. Maybe it's, I don't know, putting the toilet seat down. Perhaps it's unballing your sock before you throw it in the laundry or picking up the towels from the end of your bed. These are all hypothetical, of course. But when you have that experience and you feel like you're just speaking over and over and no one seems to be listening, but you just keep saying those things. I wonder today, as I read the prophet Micah, at God, and how often God must feel this way. Of course, it's so silly to equate God's word with me telling my child to pick their towel up from the end of the bed. But really, God has been trying to tell us the same thing in so many ways for so many different years and in so many different people. And he does it again today in Micah. Micah is a prophet. And the prophets, many of them have the same message, again, told in different ways and in a little bit different circumstances. But Micah, like many of the prophets, comes to the people and says, look, you guys are messing up. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, you're not taking care of the widows and the orphans, and the religious institution, by the way, is in cahoots with everybody who's running this show. And Micah calls the people out. In fact, this is such an interesting story because, as I told the kids, we don't get these verses, but it's actually a courtroom. It's like a court scene. And in the jury box are the mountains and the earth. They stand judge and jury over the people of God because they have stood since the beginning of time and have seen all that is happening and all that the people are doing. Can you put yourself in that position for a minute? Imagine just nature being your jury, right? They see everything. They know everything. And they also know the great love and God that, and the love and care that God has taken in creating this world. And we so often just throw it away. So the mountains and the land, they stand as judge and jury, and the people stand convicted in this text. And after they're convicted, they basically go to God and say, all right, we got it, we're convicted. So what do we do now? You want oil? You want our firstborn? What can we do to appease you? What sacrifice can we do? What settlement can we make? And really, settlement is the easy way out, isn't it? In a lawsuit, you want a settlement because then you don't have to go any further down that road. You can just pay it off and be done with it. But God says, I don't want a settlement. I don't want your sacrifices. And then I love this line from Micah. You have been told, O mortal, what the Lord requires of you. You have been told what is good. To do justice. To love kindness. And to walk humbly with your God. That is what God wants. Not a settlement. Not our money. I mean, you know, God wants us to keep churches alive and spread God's word. But what God wants is justice and kindness and attentiveness. Now, if we take that seriously, we all might really prefer the settlement because it is a lot easier. It's a lot easier just to give God the money and forget about it. Because what God asks of us is a change in our very life, is to be a different person, a person that is willing to follow God and do what God asks. And these words, justice and kindness and humility, are words that sound great on the surface, but if we take them seriously, are so very hard. This saying of Micah is all over in our culture. Do justice. Love kindness, walk humbly. I've seen it in the backs of churches. I've seen it on t-shirts. I've seen it on bulletin boards. And it's great. We should put it in our heads. But I think it's important we look at these words because they're actually really, really hard. This idea of justice, it's not what we think of in our culture. The justice God seeks is not you get what you deserve, is not everybody reaps what they sow. God's justice is something completely different. You remember that story in the Bible? There's a story in which there are laborers in the vineyard, and some go out at 8 o'clock, and some go out at noon, and some go out at 5, and they all get paid the same thing. They all get paid enough what they need. That is God's justice. And doesn't that rub against our sort of American capitalism way of being, right? Because God's justice doesn't necessarily make sense with the justice we see in the world, but as Christians, we are called to a different kind of justice. We are called to love and give no matter what. Whether or not we think people deserve it, whether or not we agree with their lifestyle, whether or not they have earned it, we are called as people of God to work for equality for all people in this world. That is justice, and that is hard. Because we think we want what is fair, but do we really? If the mountains and the earth stood jury over you, would you want the fair punishment they had to dole out? Eek, I'm not really sure I would. God's justice and grace is a kind of justice that is hard. But in the end, it's good for all of us, and it's what we are called to. What about kindness? This word is thrown around a lot. Kindness is good. I have a t-shirt, it says, be kind. And we should be kind. But sometimes I think being kind gets boiled down to just kind of being nice, right? But the word, this word in Hebrew is actually the word chesed. It's the word for righteousness. It's the word of an unfailing love of God. It's actually the word used for God's love of God's people, chesed. It's not just being nice. It's working again for the goodness of all of God's creation. You can be kind and not have chesed, right? Because you can be nice on the surface to many people and just not, you know, make waves. And that's a good place to start. Please, be kind, right? I'm not saying don't. Be kind. But as Christians, that's not where it ends for us. We are called to something deeper, something more. To work again for the good of all of God's creation. We will bring in this week the homeless from our community for the emergency shelter partnership. And, you know, it's a kind thing to do. But we go beyond that, too. We bring people in. We try to show dignity and care for all of those who come in these doors. But then God also pushes us in our lives to think about, how can we live a life in maybe ways that would push homelessness to the margins, that would cause it to go away? How do we look at the system and say, maybe there's another way of being? That is also kindness. And what about walking humbly? This is actually another translation that's not great. We can all say, oh yeah, we're humble, but you know, sometimes that just turns into a false humility, right? Oh, I'm not gonna praise myself. That's not what this word means. Another translation which I really like is to walk attentively. To walk humbly is to walk attentively, to pay attention to what God is doing in our lives. And if we are walking attentively to God, guess who we're not looking at? Us. And that is what makes us humble. That's why this translation of humble is there, but it's really to walk attentively. And again, we say, oh, that's so great, of course, but how many of us turn to God only when we need God, or only when we think there's something we want or we're feeling low, how many of us really walk in our day-to-day lives looking for the ways God is working and wondering what God is doing and asking how we can be a part of it? I know I don't. Not as much as I should. But that is what we are called to walk attentively. So at this point, I don't know how many of you would rather just give a nice offering. I probably would. It would be a lot easier. But God calls us to justice and kindness and attentiveness. And God does it because God is in relationship with us. God has given us so much already. Forgiveness and grace and love. And God knows that through us, the world has a chance for being healed. That we have a chance at being healed. But it's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-and-done. It would be easier again if it were. It is a constant redoing. We had an election this week, and record numbers turned out to vote, and that's great. But just because there was a vote and we put hope in leaders doesn't mean our work is done. I have a colleague who said, you know, it's great. I'm excited about the turnout for the election, but he works in a very poor section of Brooklyn. And he said, the reality is my people are still struggling to find enough to eat, and they're trying just to get by day by day. And in the end, I'm wondering what a new election really means. Again, I'm not saying we should please vote and the leaders matter. But we can't just vote and then say, well, everybody else will take care of it. We are called to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk attentively. We are called. We have been given lives by God to live attentively and kindly and with justice. It's hard. And maybe we need it printed on our foreheads or in our hearts. God certainly tells us over and over in the Bible, so if we keep reading our Bible, we're going to hear it, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Over and over, God tells us this. Hear it today. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk attentively, but when you go, hold on to each other's hands, because it's certainly much easier to do together. God sends us out into the world to do justice, to love kindness, to walk attentively. Where will you be led?